Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. And I'd like to highlight especially two verses in this text, and that's verses 23 and 24, where the Lord Yahweh says, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am Yahweh. I have spoken." This is our text. Now, I think we all acknowledge that we today live in a different time, a different, more modern society than the time Ezekiel and the Israelites lived here in this Old Testament reading before us today. Many would say that we have moved on, that we have progressed beyond such quaint things as shepherds, sheep, shepherds, crooks, grazing lands, and other concepts that were the currency, the basis for survival in the past. Now, of course, there are still parts of this world where shepherding sheep and caring for them are big business and still constitute a mainstay for an entire way of life. And at the time of both the Old and New Testament, things were very much agriculturally and livestock-based in nature, much, much more than even it is for us out here in Fort Lupton. We see that not only in this text, as well as our gospel reading, but is also reflected in the collect of the day that we prayed earlier and most of our hymns, that we are singing about shepherding. So it's there, it's before us. And if we are Christians, which we are, it is important for us not only to be open to the truths that God's word is teaching us about the shepherd-sheep relationship, but it is our obligation. I will say it is our duty as God's people to put the effort in, to actually understand all of the ways that this shepherd-sheep relationship is still relevant to us as we grow with Jesus today and every day moving forward in our faith. Because look, brothers and sisters, a Christian who is not growing in your relationship to the shepherd is a person who has been scattered from the flock, who is at grave risk of being devoured by Satan, that roaring lion that 1 Peter warns us against. In fact, Jesus is revealed in today's gospel reading as the good shepherd, the one who leads the 99 sheep in open country to seek out and to save that one lost sheep, whom he then puts joyfully upon his shoulders once he's found him, and then throws the sort of party for friends and neighbors that could make one think of the Lord's Supper even. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess I forgot. I'm supposed to be preaching the Old Testament reading right now, which, though related to the picture that Jesus uncovers in the gospel, actually addresses the shepherd-sheep topic differently, though of course no less important for us. Yahweh himself, the one true God who is, who was, and who always will be our God and Savior, makes it crystal clear here in Ezekiel chapter 34 that he and only he is my shepherd. Your shepherd. In order for us to have the best chance of hearing and embracing his message to us today, We need to look at this text from two different perspectives. First, how the Lord is my shepherd then and there, that is at the time of Ezekiel and Israel, and second, how the Lord is my shepherd here and now, today. As I said before, for most of us, this modern society in which we live has moved on from most of the images and illustrations that God used with his people in Ezekiel 34. I mean, it was just barely past 600 BC, some 2,500 years ago. And we just don't live and think and speak as they did in those ancient times, of shepherds, sheep, grazing lands, and all of the rest. I can think of one person in this room that might still think that way. But just because the ancient society had a much greater understanding of those pastoral, agrarian, and rural realities than us, they still were just as capable of using that language and those concepts figuratively, as God intended, not just literally, as we might be tempted to think about them. It is obviously wrong, then, to think, as so many people do, that just because their society was not as developed as ours, that they were somehow less intelligent or not as perceptive as we are. In fact, in some ways, though, they were much more intelligent, much more perceptive than us. So for Ezekiel and the people of the Near East, the role of shepherd was easily understood as a metaphor for the great king, or perhaps for a pagan god for those who were unbelievers. And the evidence for this figurative use is before us today here in verse 15, where God, the King of Kings, likens himself to, quote, a shepherd of his sheep who goes in search for those who have been scattered. Now that means, of course, that this word sheep serves as the metaphor for God's people, Israelites, then and there with Ezekiel, and Christians here and now today. Likewise, the metaphors are compounded as the shepherd feeds them, leads them into pleasant pasture, binds up the injured, and strengthens the weak. All of this is picture language for the way that the Lord Yahweh, in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, deals with us, his sheep. That is to say that the prophet Ezekiel, under the Holy Spirit's inspiration, intended for his words to be interpreted figuratively as a parable, that is an earthly story with a much deeper heavenly meaning. Sure, that language of shepherd and sheep started and became well known to the Israelites there in the 6th century BC, but God had every intention that those words would point beyond their time and place to much greater realities. Realities, in fact, that remain just as poignant, just as meaningful to us all these centuries later. Take that passage that I read at the beginning of this message in verses 23 and 24. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, Yahweh, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I am Yahweh. I have spoken. To speak of Yahweh's servant David was to look back 500 years to King David, who in Ezekiel's time was already a part of distant history. But At the same time, it referred to the past, it was pointing those people forward in time to the promised Messiah, David's greater son, Jesus. But the passage makes an important distinction between the speaker, who is the Lord Yahweh, and this promised David, when it says, "My servant David." They aren't the same. One is a servant. And we know from Matthew 1, 6 to 16 in Jesus' lineage that he came from the house that is the lineage of David. So Ezekiel's prophecy is already calling us to ponder that unique and impossible relationship for us to ever fully grasp between God the Father and Christ the Son. Co-equal in the Holy Trinity with the Spirit, but distinguishable as the Father and his only begotten Son from eternity. It blows our mind. Still today, though, we confess with confidence every Sunday these realities that Scripture teaches us when we confess our faith through the church's creeds. But a foretaste of all of this abundance is revealed by the prophet Ezekiel 5 centuries before our Lord Jesus was born in the flesh. In Ezekiel's day, the sheep in our text, the Israelites, had been scattered already throughout the ancient Near East since August of 586 BC, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. So here Ezekiel points those people to the day when Yahweh will search out his sheep, that is, the scattered remnant of Israel, and will restore them to lush pastures atop the mountains of Israel, we see in verse 13. It's then and there that God's people will be well fed, well provisioned, well watered, and that Yahweh himself will take care of everything. He truly is their shepherd. But we have the curious detail in verse 17 about the Lord Yahweh judging between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. The strong sheep, they have hogged the best fodder and muddied the clear streams. And so Yahweh takes the side of his oppressed sheep, and he says that he cannot be intimidated by the fat sheep's headbutting and the way that they thrust the weak away with their horns. More picture language. Again, Ezekiel uses this picture language to describe those people and organizations at the time in Israel, that is, the religious and political leaders, who were undercutting his ministry, who were mixing false teaching in with the pure springs of God's word and scattering the already widely scattered sheep even further. He isn't pleased with that, but he promises to establish one shepherd. One shepherd who will unite them all, the shoot of David, our Lord Jesus, who alone will feed them and be their shepherd. And when he does that, he moves the text 500 years closer to our time today, when Jesus came as the fulfillment of Ezekiel's agrarian prophecy. In every one of his healing miracles, we see Jesus doing what? Binding up the injured and strengthening the weak, just as Ezekiel had prophesied. As Jesus taught the people during the 3 years of his earthly ministry, he interpreted God's holy word as it pointed the light of God's truth upon his own death and resurrection, toward his gifts of repentance and forgiveness for all sinners. So yes, it's there in Jesus that we see the triune God feeding his sheep with good pasture and making them to lie down beside the still waters that we all know so well in Psalm 23. The Gospels recount for us Jesus's hostile encounters over and over again against the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. And we see him warding off then the fat and the sleek sheep who trampled down the good pasture of God's truth, who contaminate his clear streams of living water. Even the image of the divine shepherd's judging shows up in Matthew 25, verse 32, where Jesus tells us that the nations will be scattered as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats when the Son of Man appears at the end of the age. Yes, Jesus identifies himself so closely, in fact, with the sheep that he became one of them, dying in our place. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God, John proclaims in his gospel. Yes, all of Ezekiel's prophecy finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, 100% man and 100% God. In fact, my fellow sheep, they are still fulfilled today. And guess where? It may be the last place that you would expect to find it. And in fact, I'm kind of glad that all this happened this morning so that you don't have sermon notes. Because you don't know where I'm already going, and that's the intent of a sermon, that you hear it as it happens, that you don't read ahead and already know the answers before I get there. So where is it that these words are still fulfilled today? As I said, it might be the last place you would expect, but Scripture says that it is so. Today, folks, the work prophesied by Ezekiel and fulfilled by Jesus is carried on here and now through God's public office of the holy ministry. Though, as I have proven well this morning, that my own ministry in that office often fails and falls very short. Nevertheless, though, that is the truth that God tells us in his holy word. In today's epistle reading, 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, St. Paul presents himself as someone who, in spite of this, of his place as the chief of sinners, Jesus granted him, quote, mercy for this reason, so that he might serve as an example to those who were to believe in Jesus for eternal life. Right now, today, every faithful pastor in Christ's church, including the one standing before you this very moment, has received Christ's mercy and forgiveness and the power to be an example of how truly powerful God's grace is to you sinners who believe in Jesus for eternal life. You see what my role then is before you today? It is to stand up here as an undeserving and sin-filled soul in this holy pulpit, this place within God's holy church, that is the gathering of true believers, as Christ's under-shepherd, and to boldly proclaim, if Jesus, my friends, the good shepherd, if Jesus can find, bring back from behind the gates of hell, and feed and heal and forgive the likes of me, then my fellow sheep. He can and has done it with you as well. That's the example that he intends for my role to be. Yes, according to Ezekiel's prophecy, you are the sheep. That's not a derogatory thing to say. It's just how it is in God's holy truth. We Christians are immeasurably blessed to be the sheep in the shepherd-sheep relationship, because we desperately need to follow a voice. And Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Where again do we do that? In the preaching office. In the place where Jesus' voice is heard in this specific locality here. From his pulpit, where his gospel is proclaimed. In the holy absolution, as you heard it earlier, where his forgiveness is declared. At the baptismal font, where his grace cleanses and adopts his sheep. And at the altar from which his body and blood is administered and fed to you, his beloved sheep. These are the places where the good shepherd has promised that you will hear his voice. I know the voice sounds like that of Keith Basil, but this is God's voice, and that's not me being arrogant. I'm just the Bluetooth speaker, folks. But as his under-shepherd, I am humbled and I am blessed to share in the Master's ministry in this small way and to care for you, his flock, also teaching, comforting, praying for, and healing the weak, the hurting, the grief-stricken sheep in Christ's stead. Believe me, I know it is a tall order. And often, as I have proven very well today, I do not measure up. But because you have called me, or because you do call me pastor, which comes from the German word for shepherd, I promise that I will seek with Christ's power to do my best to lead and serve you, his beloved sheep, in his name for as long as it is his desire and will. So the Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd. Not only then and there during the time of Ezekiel and in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ our Lord, but yes, the Lord is my shepherd, your shepherd, here and now, in his prophetic and apostolic ministry to which you called me to be your pastor, your under shepherd. So I need your prayers, just as much as you need mine, just as much as we all need and have our Lord Jesus as our shepherd, as our Savior forever. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus today and forevermore. Amen.